Well, let's open up to the book of Ephesians, starting in the... We're looking at chapter 6 again. Just a little bit more on the shield of faith for what we were talking about this morning at the 8:30 service. And if you didn't hear that service, I really recommend you hear it. And then after the service, somebody shared a verse with me. I don't really know the Bible in chapter and verse where you can just say, well, zama zama, you know, and I'll know what it is necessarily, unless it's Mark 11, 23, 24. I know those. There's a few of them that I know, you know. Yeah, you know. Yeah, 23rd Psalm, I know that one pretty well. But anyway, we'll get to it in a minute. It's really a good verse that ties in with this one today. But I am hungry, you know, and someone shares something with you that really fits. Boy, it feeds my soul. So let's look at this again. We've been going through the book of Ephesians. I've never heard some of these things before. To me, this whole thing in chapter 6 where he talks about put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand in the evil day. All the preaching I had ever heard about that was pretty much defensive style preaching. It's like, all right, when the devil attacks, this is what you do. And it just came by meditating the word, and also the answer I got after Michelle went home, you know, and I was so angry, I was so just, I just did not expect that at all. And I said, well, what is wrong? What is the answer? And day and night, that was in me. I know it wasn't a lot of you. And again, I had that dream, and in the dream, there was a problem. What that problem was is not important, but the answer, that what I heard was important. Because I had this unsolvable dilemma. I was going, God, what? We've done everything we know to do and more, and still she went home. Now, what's the problem? You know, what is the answer to this? Well, in that dream, there was this unsolvable problem almost, and then all of a sudden, God spoke. And then when he spoke, he just said, the answer is Ephesians 5:14. Well, let's look at it real quick. We're pretty close to there anyway. So as soon as I woke up, I don't know the Bible in chapter verse well enough to know what that is without looking it up. I went to my computer, tacka-tacka-tacka, looked it up, which is what I use at home all the time. And there, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then as I was going, God, you know, even that is like, oh, well, it's kind of like when they asked Jesus about fasting. Why do we fast, Jesus? Well, you don't put new wine in old bottles, and you don't sew a new cloth on a ripped garment. Old ripped garment. Thank you, Lord. I now understand everything there is to know about fasting. I just thank you so much. Well, that's, you know, in the beginning, that's kind of the way this was. I knew he was giving me a smack. You know, it was like, wake up, you're asleep. The whole church is asleep. But as I kept meditating on it and started looking at this book again in Ephesians, this is the book of authority. If we've got a book in the New Testament that lays out in precise detail what Dave would call a Rembrandt, a Picasso, a masterpiece of line upon line laying out the authority that belongs to the body of Christ, it's the book of Ephesians. And as I began reading it again and how Christ has been exalted to the right hand of God far above all principality and power and might and dominion, And then how he's all with him. We were quickened together with him. We were raised together with him. We were seated together with him. He began reminding me again studies that I had done over almost a quarter of a century ago in the same book. And I found my old notes. I mean, it's not like I haven't studied these things before. I had studied them before. And there's nothing wrong with those studies. He says, son, it's good to have knowledge. But there's a big difference in having knowledge of a thing and walking in a thing. It's like you can know the truth, but it's only when you start walking in the truth that your life really changes, you know. So here we go again. He said, assimilate it again. Do what you know to do. Assimilate. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to show you things you've never seen before. Boy, he's been doing that too. And so I began seeing this passage here. At that time, for the first time ever, it dawned on me. What I didn't see 25 years ago was, my goodness, this passage here where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, he's comparing that to the book of Joshua. In other words, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood like they did. Well, they physically had to go in and fight the Canaanites, Amorites, etc. We're not wrestling against them. We're wrestling against these spiritual forces, but the comparison is, the analogy is the same. Well, wait a minute. What's the book of Joshua about? Is that where the people of God are all hunkered down trying to just to survive now, and where the devil comes attacking them? No, the book of Joshua is where the people of God have come to where the devil has full sway. It's his land. You know, I mean, you know, the Hizzites are there. Sickites, povertyites, pervertites, every kind of ites. You know, it's his land. All the ites live there. And he's going, no, God's people have come to take it away from you. And I'm going, this sounds like revival. This sounds like Tulsa is in revival. This sounds like Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. This sounds like what we've come to do. So the book of Ephesians is not about, oh my, we're hunkered down here and just trying to make heaven now. No, this is about taking the land that belongs to God. Taking it away from the devil. Now, of course, he's going to fight back. He's not going to just roll over and play dead because you showed up. See? You know? So then I begin seeing this armor of God and this whole warfare in a different light. So let's look at it again real quick. Here we go. Starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's that analogy drawing you back to the book of Joshua. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, did you read that? That's fairly impressive. Back up to chapter 1. This is where you're seated. When we approach those guys, it says wrestle. To do warfare. When we approach those guys, we've come to take your land. And they go, do you know who we are? I'm a principality. I rule over nations. I have under me rulers of darkness. And you are who? Who are you? Oh, let me tell you who I am. Back up. Now you're seated together with Christ. Do you remember that? Who are you? Verse 20 of chapter 1. No, verse 21. Who I am is seated with Christ. Far above all. Now over here it said principalities, powers, etc. Here it says, I am seated far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. The 70 returned and they said, even the devils are subject to us. When the two meet, one's going to stand and one is going to bow. Principality, bow. You the one that's going to bow, not me. You the one that's going to bow, because I am seated far above. Now, is that because he's so afraid of you, you big bad Christian, you? Well, is the bus afraid, the bus driver driving the many-ton bus, is he afraid of the physical power of the little police person that stands out in the road and says, halt? No, he's not concerned about that one's power. It's the power that authorized that one. It's the power behind that one. That's why get on the brakes and stop that bus. Because the authority that belongs to that one. Got that? Well, here we have this impressive list that we're going to war against. One of the things we have to get in mind whenever we have to keep in mind, when we go to war, we are seated. I mean, they're going to do their best to impress you. I'm a principality. I'm a power. I have rulers of darkness, not just imps. I have rulers of darkness under me. We're going to destroy you. Remember what they said today? We're going to kill you. We're going to kill your family. We're going to destroy your church. We're going to do all of this, you know? He said, no, you're not. They're going to do their best to make you bow. You're going to have the knowledge, and I mean like you know your name. No, you're the one that's going to bow. I am seated far above you. Not just above, far above you. That name, I bring with me the authority of the name that is above every name. You, and not only in that world to come, because that's what they're going to tell you. That's only for their next life. No, in this world and in the world to come. Now you bow in Jesus' name. You stop your maneuvers. You leave this situation. I've come to take this land for the kingdom of God. Someone's leaving, and it's going to be you. Amen? All right? Well, that's the attitude we've got to have. Now, see, that's a so different picture. Oh, he's come to attack me. So, what was that one preacher that told the other one, says, I've been at it for years. I finally got the devil on the run. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Only trouble is, he's chasing me. Now, that's funny. I think it's funny, too. But the trouble of it is, there's more truth to that than we want to admit. I've got him on the run. Yeah, where is he? He's right behind me. Pray for me. Devil's trying to get me. Well, that's kind of the attitude we've had. What to do in that evil day? What is the evil day? That's when the devil's on the attack. No, the book of Joshua is about when we're on the attack. Come to take this city. Well, what's going to happen? It tells you here. We're going against these, just exactly like going against the Canaanites, the Amorites. You remember the evil report? You could say a factual report. The report was factual. The conclusion was wrong. But the report, the Amorites did live in the land. The Hittites did live in the land. The sons of Anak were there. The giants were in the land. These are a warlike people. They were trained for war. Here they're facing a bunch of slaves that's never fought war in their life. They grew up as slaves. They don't know anything about war hardly at all. All of that was factual. Well, he's going to bring facts against you too. Who do you think you are? Feel the pain in your body. Look at your bank account. You remember that job you used to have? You don't have it no more. Whatever it is. See, whatever it is. Okay? And he's trying to get you to make the same wrong conclusion that they made, and that's why he's saying you better put on this armor. He's trying to get you to say, I be not able to take the land. See, that's what made it evil. Evil report. The conclusion that they came to. All of that other stuff was factual. What are those guys against my God? What is your armor against my armor? What is your weapons against my weapons? Have you heard about my God? See, the truth of the matter was, Jericho was trembling in their boots. Looked really impressive, all shut up in these massive walls. The reason they were all shut up? Man, they'd heard about what God had done in the wilderness to those other kings. They were trembling in their boots. Wouldn't it be something if suddenly God could just fast forward us and we're looking back from a future date when we're in heaven. He shows us a rewind of our life here and he says, I want you to show you the enemy's camp. While you were over here all huddled and worried about the enemy, they were trembling in their boots, afraid you'd find out who you are. They were trembling in their boots and Jericho was shut up. Nobody coming in, nobody coming out. Why? They were afraid. Afraid of you. Afraid you'd ever find out who you are. Wouldn't that be something? Amen. Hallelujah. So here he goes. Well, we're wrestling. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Evil day just means war is hell. Even a good war, one that you win, it's still not pleasant while you're in the warfare. Hey, I've been in fights. I know a lot of people don't fight these days, you know. When I grew up, most guys fought. You know, you're going to wind up in a fight. I was in more than my share. See, I didn't know I was going to quit growing in the eighth grade. I was a pretty big fella in the eighth grade. I was the same size now. I weighed a little. I mean, I was the same height now. I weigh a little more. A little more. Okay, I was 175 pounds. I was 175 pounds and the same height in the eighth grade. I was a pretty good dude. And plus, I was into weightlifting at the time. I flaunted it a little, too. Those were good fights because I won those. I quit growing. I didn't know that I had come to the end of my growth. The other guys didn't quit growing. The next few years were not the most pleasant of my life. Payback is not good. Some of my pleasant temperament arrived during that time. Okay. All right. But I know what it is to be in a fight, boy. And I mean, even when you're winning. But you take a few blows in there. And I've been in fights where I felt my teeth get loose and taste your own blood. You know? the next day you can hardly see out of the little slits, you know. See, some people in here know, okay? The rest of you are going, huh, wonder what that feels. It don't feel good. It don't feel good, okay? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, in this war, see, what scares me a little bit, if you've never been in a fight, like, even though you won it, it wasn't easy to win. See, most people have almost no experience with that. They get a sucker punch to the jaw, you know, spiritually I'm talking, something happened in your life. And, you know, oh, I didn't know he was going to fight back. Well, that's usually it. That's it. I'm not having no more to do with this faith stuff, none of this confession stuff, no more of that prayer. I'm just going to be a nice Christian. Where's the first church where they tell me I'm okay? I just want to go to heaven now. See? You know, that's what happens. That's the attitude people have. I ain't doing no more of that praying. What happened? I took a punch to the jaw. I didn't like it. You know? All right? Well, you're going to take some punches. That's what he's talking about, and that brings us right up to our verse for tonight. Today, I guess. It says, verse 13 again, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, rather than retreat, is what he's talking about. Stand, therefore. Here we go. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And if you didn't hear Wednesday night's message, you're going to have to hear it. I'm not going to teach it again. But that's more than just bringing the good news of peace. Jesus has made peace between God and man. That's half of it, all right. That's the message of peace. But having your feet shod with the gospel of peace, that's when you finally have learned to cast the whole of your care upon Him. You're not going up against the enemy shaking in your boots all the time about what's going to happen. No, you have prepared your feet, drawn your sword. You are ready for battle. You're not Barney Fife anymore, trying to wear Jesus' armor. Thank God some people still remember Barney Fife. Who was it? Who did tell me? Pee Wee Herman. To this generation, it would be you're not Pee Wee Herman anymore. You know, trying to wear Jesus' armor, shaking in your boots. Okay? No. You're John Wayne in the spirit. Okay. Come on now. Hallelujah. All right, so your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, this is the one we've been looking at today. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Here's the punches coming back. Even though we're on the offense, he's firing fiery darts at you. In other words, he's not going to lay down just because you showed up. Now, he will lay down if you don't stop. But he's going to test your mettle, can I say it that way? He's going to try you out. You're going to get a blow to the jaw. You're going to see what your blood tastes like. See if you're going to run at the first little punch. Because fiery darts. But see, if we do what he says here, it'll never reach you. Not the real you. Because with the shield of faith, you're able to quench every fiery dart. Now, you know that in our generation, the word dart, normally most of us associate that with those little darts we threw in the bar. You know, the little darts about 3 inches long that you threw towards them. Okay? It's really here talking about arrows, but if you really look up the word, it can also mean a spear. What's one thing to face flaming arrows coming at you? It's another thing in my mind. Oh, God, he's launching flaming spears now. Those rascals are big. I never knew it meant spear until just recently. I was, spear? Flaming spears? I don't know why. I just had this picture, you know. Oh, God. Here they come. That dart can mean arrow or it can mean spear. These are big things coming. And you're able to quench. But you're only able to quench it with the shield of faith. Now, again, I don't think it's coincidence. I don't think it's by accident that shield of faith is mentioned right at this point. What's he talked about so far? He's talking about the truth. You better know the truth. He's talking about your own righteousness. When I say your own righteousness, what I mean is the righteousness that has made it from your new nature to your outside now. The righteousness that you're walking in. I'm not talking about his position. In fact, actually, positional righteousness is your shield. I'll show you that in a minute. Positional righteousness is your shield. He's talking about the peace. He's talking about the truth you walk in. He's talking about the righteousness you walk in. And he's talking about the peace that you walk in. Those flaming darts are aimed right there. Well, what's the truth? By his stripes I was healed. A flaming spear. Jump! And you feel a sickness or something in your body. Something happens. Get a report from the doctor. Here come that flaming dart. Now, what are you going to do? Start telling everyone about your mountain, and I don't know why God let this happen to me, and oh God, you know? Or are you going to quench that fiery dart by holding up the shield of faith? Do you know the truth, or do you? He's after your truth. He's after your peace. He's after your righteousness. Last week I kind of talked more about the righteousness side. He's going to send Mr. Good-looking if you're a single woman, not a single man. A single woman that's been single, and maybe you're, you know, anyway, and they've been single a while, and so the devil's already telling you, that's it, you're going to live the rest of your life alone. You know, I mean, I've been around a while, been counseling a while. Well, who comes? If it's now, hopefully it'll be Mr. Good-looking that God sent. God can send Mr. Just look at me. I mean, he can send Mr. Good-looking. Okay. I'm letting y'all know right now I'm married. Get your hands off. I'm Sue's and no others. But see, there is such a thing as Mr. Good Looking, right? Look. Oh, anyway. What does Dave say? You know, a lifter. Anyway. We're lifters. Okay. That would be a flaming dart that he would send towards a woman. What's he firing that fiery dart at? Your righteousness. When you find out he's married. You find out that guy's married? Well, now we're going to see where you have a righteousness on, or do you not have it on? But see, when he fires those fiery darts, the only defense for us is the shield of faith. Now, hold your place here. We're coming back. A friend shared with me after the service. Go to Genesis 15. I love this. I hadn't really seen it in this connection, but boy, as soon as I saw it, I went, yes! Let me show you what your shield really is. Genesis 15. By the way, this was right after Sodom had been attacked and they had taken Abram's nephew, Lot. And Abram took, 318 of his own men? I think it was 300 and some odd of them. And went out and made, yeah, where is it? There's your brother here. 318, hallelujah. And they went out and fought against those kings, and they rescued, and they brought all the people back, you know. And the king of Sodom, who is a type of the devil, he says, well, just give me the people and you can keep the goods. Yeah. Anyway, Abram didn't fall for that one either. He didn't keep anything. Anyway, I can't get into that right now, but if we do, we'll lose our last 15 minutes. Anyway, it's right after that event, right after warfare, that God says this to Abram in chapter 15, verse 1. It said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. You ready? I am thy shield. That is your shield of faith, right there. I am thy shield. See, when he fires at your righteousness, and when I say none of us have any righteousness of our own. Even if you're walking more righteous now than when you first got saved, with hopefully you are, that's still the righteousness of your new nature. It's still a free gift by God. It's not something you have earned. It like Paul says, I'm not trying to establish my own righteousness, which is by the law. No, what I'm after now is the righteousness which is by the faith of Christ. Well, you have his nature on the inside. Why don't you go to the bars anymore, Gary? It's not my nature. He gave me a new nature. I'm just walking in what he gave me. It's not anything I did. I'm just walking in it. Well, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? Because his nature's in me. I'm just walking in it. Gary, are you walking in the fullness of his nature? Going on to the next verse. Well, I'm like you. We're all doing our best. Paul, when he wrote the book of Philippians, was still pressing towards the mark. Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so discouraged. He said of himself, I don't say that I myself have apprehended, but I am pressing, forgetting those things which are behind. Boy, you need to do that too. Forget those things which are behind. you're looking forward, pressing towards the mark of the high call. Better is a... Every time that you climb out from underneath that slimy rock, whatever it was you fell to this time, you know, I don't care if it's anything from sin to Mr. Good... I mean, anything from lying to Mr. Good-looking, anything in there, no matter what slimy rock you crawled out from under, first you go to the blood. 1 John 1:9, Father, forgive me. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God, I can't believe I did it again. Be like a good child coming to a parent. Every parent, the main thing they want is don't lie to me. Yes. Fess up. Tell the truth. And we'll go from here forward. They're not wanting to punish you for the next 10 years. They're wanting to go forward from here. Well, that's whatever slimy rock you crawled out from, first go to the blood and second go to prayer. Start praying again. I begin again that mortification process, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Do some more of that fasting. Do some more confession like Dave was teaching us this morning. Do those things because better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. I thank God. I'm telling you, condemnation, nearly self-condemnation. I wasn't getting it from Dave. I wasn't getting it from Tim. Self-condemnation nearly drove me away from the prayer center. I can't even tell you how many times. The devil couldn't really do it through circumstances, although we had plenty of that. Self-condemnation was the closest thing that drove us away from here. And the thing that kept me here was that sentence. Better is a creep that prays. I had hope in that sentence that if I just could get back, crawl my way back into prayer, no matter how much I felt like a creep, no matter how much I felt like a slime, if I could just crawl my way back into prayer again, the Holy Ghost would make intercession for me according to the perfect will of God. Thank God for this message. Thank God for this message. Well, when he says, see that shield of faith which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. What is your shield of faith? God himself. God is the Word. Jesus is the Word. If he fires at your righteousness, and let me say it that way, even though it's really his, what I'm saying is when he fires a fiery dart at the righteousness you're walking in, let's say it that way. Here comes a fiery dart. It's coming. All right. What are you going to hold up? Your righteousness? That's what they tried to do under the law. You hold up his righteousness. He is your shield. Positionally, you're not going to heaven based on your righteousness. You're going to heaven based on his righteousness. The Holy Spirit hasn't come to be your enforcer. It's really, you know, those devils don't leave because they're scared of you. They leave because they're scared of him. You got that right? If I cast out devils by the finger of God, by the Spirit of God, those devils, why do they scream? Because they're not coming out on their own. They're being forced out of there. See? Well, the Holy Spirit's not coming to you to enforce like that for you because of who you are. He's doing that because of who Jesus is. He is our shield. His righteousness. The fiery darts are coming at truth. The truth you've got on. The truth what did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. That's why when the devil attacked him, all he held up was the Word of God. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. All you got to do is use that same shield. He is my truth. Hallelujah. He is my truth. Amen. And in your peace. Oh my God. I think fiery darts are aimed more at peace. It comes right after peace. Fiery darts are aimed, flaming spears aimed at your peace. And all he really has is circumstances. And then fear. Fear based on circumstances. Boy, and this is why last Wednesday night you got to get that message. I don't care if you have to practice it for 2 years to start walking in the peace of God. If you have to get out of your bed 10 times a night because you're worried and can't sleep because of fear, whatever it is, you've got to practice again and again, casting the whole of your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I am telling you, I am promising you, there is a life free from worry. Now, I walk free in so many realms, like because I've had experience now, I've been at it for so long. There may be other areas where I'm going to have to go through this again myself because I just haven't walked there. But I do know how to walk there. And that's to keep on with my soul, casting that care back upon Him, going back and declaring His Word like Dave was teaching us this morning. Don't ever take anything lightly that Dave teaches here. If he teaches on a subject, you better pay attention. And he was teaching strong on confession today. I would counsel you, find those old confessions, blow the dust off of them. Might be time for you, and see, that's really going to be the next piece of the armor anyway, or not the next piece, but we're getting to it, the sword of the Spirit. Well, you're going to sling it the same way Jesus slung it. It is written. Every circumstance that comes your way, every thought that He throws at your mind, everything the enemy, every fiery dart and every fiery spear, it is written. It is written. It is written. Yeah, but, you're going to the yeah, buts. Yeah, but, feel the pain in your body. It is written. By His stripes, I was healed. Oh, feel that pain? Himself bore my sicknesses, carried my pains. Oh, did you feel that one over there? He blesses my bread. He blesses my water. He is the Lord that healeth me. And He takes sickness away from the midst of me. On and on and on you go. You don't need a whole ton of them. You know, about three... By two or three witnesses, you know. He had me have four that time I walked the floor and did it for hours upon hours a day. But boy, when it comes to the shield, He says to Abram, He says to you, don't you be in fear. I am your shield. Well, boy, if He's your shield, He's out in front of you. That's what you got to see. That dart can't... Now, what we want... Yes, sir. How do I say that? What we want is to quench the fiery dart before it really hits us. And it really does. Now, it really does. But the real you is the spirit on the inside, not your body. See, because normally that's what we tend to think. Well, if I really do this right, there'll never be any symptoms. There'll never be any problem. No, that's not how it works. He manipulates something in the material realm, and by that, He's fired a dart at the real you. So you feel a pain. Oh, say a fiery dart got through. Not yet, it hasn't. That's how He launched the fiery dart. Now, this is good right here. Now, your response to that is what is, you know, that's whether or not that's really going to affect the real you or not. Whether it has the effect He wanted it to have. See, that's all He has is flat tires. You know, somebody spoke ugly to me. A pain in my body, got laid off my job. Those are the fiery darts. Those are the things. He manipulates things in the natural. And they're aimed at the real you, the child of God that you really are. Now, is it going to reach you? Not if you do this. You are my shield. You are... He's going to do everything. You know how it happens. He's trying to get to you. You're not righteous. I'm not even sure you're saved. You've been going to this church all these years. If these people really knew God, if they really could... I'm not looking at anybody now. If they really knew who you were and what you're like, if they really could hear God, they'd know you're not even really saved. That's a real fiery dart right there. Gary, how do you know about that one? Going on to the next verse? You think He doesn't fire that at everybody? Well, yeah, the rest of... Yeah, Gary got healed, but... Oh! The pain that you got. The doctor said you're going to die. Yeah. Are you going to let that fiery dart through or not? Now see, He is your shield. He really is. He's out in front of you if you know the truth of it. We get the wrong idea. This is why, we get the wrong idea that if I'm walking correctly, nothing bad is ever going to happen. I don't know anybody like that. Even Jesus, it wasn't like that. I mean, everywhere the man went, they tried to stone him. They tried to throw him off the brow of the hill. They called him everything but saved, you know. They thought he was just a hillbilly from Nazareth. They did everything in the world. I mean, you know, was his life a life of flowery beds of ease and, you know, sitting there drinking his lattes and having his bonbons? And I like both of those things. You know, I do. I like lattes and bonbons, but anyway. But my life isn't dependent on those things. See, I used to think if something happened, a fiery dart got through. That's not really true. Your reaction to that circumstance depends. That's what depends whether or not the fiery dart gets through or not. And you can quench that thing. You can quench that thing. Put it out. And you'll wind up with quite like Job. See, the Bible, the New Testament tells us really only to meditate on one part of the book of Job. Did you know that? It says, consider the end of Job. Did you know that? Isn't it, James? Consider the end of Job. That's what we're supposed to meditate on. What happened? What was the end of Job? He was blessed with twice. Everything that the devil did, God blessed Job with twice everything that the devil sent his way. You know, I went through that one time, though, numerically. I tried to be a good student. I went through there numerically one time, counting up the camels and the donkeys and all of that stuff, you know. Did you know it really was twice, except in one area? I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, twice.
Well, okay, two areas. There's another one. I hadn't even thought about that one. My. I'm not real sure that would have been a blessing anyway. I mean, one wife is sufficient, okay? I love my wife, but one's enough. All right. No, what I was referring to, he had the same number of children. Everything else is double. If you look at it, in the beginning he had this many donkeys, and then later he had that many donkeys. Everything's double except children. I go, God, he wound up with the same number of children that he started with. He said, no, I didn't. I gave him twice. And I'm going, God, look, right here, it's your word. Look, can you read? You know, I didn't really say that. But look, twice donkeys, twice camels, twice everything, same number of children. He said, no, I blessed him with twice the number of children. He said, well, you're not looking at it from my perspective. When he got here, he found all of his original children were already with me. I blessed him with twice the number that he had before. For all eternity, he's got twice the number of children that he started with. Isn't that something? See, from God's perspective, he didn't lose those original ones. Isn't that something? God's word is amazing, is it not? It's amazing. All right, well, we're coming back to the end of this one tonight. Go back to Ephesians just for a minute. Let's look at this now. I want to make sure you understand how to do this. You've got to understand that flaming dart hasn't really harmed you. It hasn't hit you yet just because it happened in the natural. It's what happens in the spirit that he's after. That's what he's trying to hit, is that spirit man on the inside of you, the real you. So when it says here in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. See, in this, well, we could do a conference on this thought right now. Because listen, that shield of faith, the just shall live by what? Faith, and not by what? See, the fiery darts, if you let it affect the real you, you're living by sight. You're living by sight. He is a manipulator. He is a manipulator of circumstances. A master manipulator put together is manipulator. But anyway, Amanda, just leave that in there. Anyway, I think it's funny. But that's what he can do to find out. And if you're living by sight, you're going, oh, I thought God loved me, and how did he let this happen? And oh, you know, and pretty soon you're gone. And there's another casualty of the war. And he goes, ah, that fiery dart worked. I'm going to fire one at this one. And the same fiery dart comes, and all this one will do is, it is written. I don't care what it looks like. I don't live by sight. I live by faith. It is written. It is written. You're going to find out. That shield of faith, God himself, really the shield is God. That shield of faith will quench that fiery dart. Consider the end of Job. I don't care what that circumstance was. He will bless you with more than you started with. Devil can't really harm the real you. That's the difference between living by sight and living by faith. Fiery darts come to everybody. Some live by sight and they're gone. Others live by faith, they overcome. You overcome him. We did this one this morning. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. See, that blood of Lamb, when he fires a fiery dart at your righteousness, You overcome him not with your righteousness that you're walking in. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. He is your shield. Hallelujah. I think that's good for tonight. Hallelujah. Well, if you only get that one thing about that fiery arrow, it doesn't mean stuff isn't going to happen. Just because that happened doesn't mean that arrow has hit you. Not the real you. How you react to the arrow, that will determine whether you're a person that lives by faith or lives by sight. I say, we're a people that lives by faith. That's good stuff. Hallelujah. All right. To be continued. Now, this is for somebody. I don't know who. You can find this, I think. Let me look here. I think I saw it when he was over in Thessalonians today. Go to 1 Thessalonians. And if it's not there, I apologize. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway in a minute. Because I know what he's saying. Let's see here. Yes, it is here. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 15. There's a fiery dart coming or has come. It's landed or it's going to land very quick. And you're going to be tempted. Now I'll tell you right now what it's after. It's going to try and get you to render evil for evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See, and so you'll know he's talking to the church here. Look back up a little bit. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, and see that none render evil for evil unto any man. There's a fiery dart coming. You're the natural, what it's aimed at, we're going to see if it hits you. Now just because the circumstance will happen, that fiery dart hadn't hit you yet. Not the real you. It'll hit you if you render evil for evil. Why he brought it to me right now, I serve the mean people. I am a servant to the bad people. I serve your enemies because you're trying to save them all. You'd like to use me to do it. If you render evil for evil, you lost your opportunity to minister Christ to them. I'm not looking at anybody on purpose. I'm trying not to look at anybody on purpose. But it's for one of you. This word will come to you. It'll happen, and you'll hear my voice, or you'll hear the Lord in some voice. And he'll say, render. Let me find it exactly. Say it exactly. Render. Do not render evil for evil. Or say, render evil. Do not render evil unto any man. I don't care what they do to you. Do not retaliate. He told me years ago when it comes to certain things, we were being suffered a minor little bit of persecution from a local preacher coming against Sue and I, strong, publicly. And I wanted to retaliate, bad. I told you, I still know how to fight. You know, I challenged a guy once. I did. Better is a creep that prays. But the Lord told, he finally got it across to me. If you will not defend yourself, you have one that will defend you. And that's, he's talking about himself. That guy, I wish I'd have been nicer to him now, because he continued in his error. Now, he was saved, but he continued in his error. He's already been gone home to be with the Lord for years. He wound up in a severe case of judgment. He opened the door himself. Cast not your pearls before swine. If you do, and you continue to do it, the devil's going to trample those pearls in the mud, and it's going to free him up to come and rend you. That's exactly what happened. Render, say it out loud with me so you can hear it. Maybe you'll hear it in your own voice. I render evil to no man. Even if they render evil to me, I do not render evil to any man. Amen. You got that? Now, he's talking about revenge. He's not talking about, the thief needs to go to jail. Okay? That type of thing. But we're talking, you know what I'm talking about. They do something nasty to you and you want to do something nasty back. Now, that's what he's talking about. Okay? So some of you, maybe you'll give a testimony later, but I'm telling you, there's a fiery dart coming. Can you hear it? Listen, anyway. I hope it's an arrow, not a spear. I hate those flaming spears, but anyway.